You are right. You see, sometimes I'll be talking to people and it gets to a point I will be thinking within myself, like I'm making myself look very stupid, because I try as much as I can to mimic the accent, which I never, you know, accomplish. Then when it gets to a point, it becomes frustrating that I try to minimize that, you know, like what you said, I'll say it in my own distinctive way so that they can identify me by that.
Hey, Magnus.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Hi. You know, I used to do theater parts sometimes, and but I've always enjoyed studying accents, and I found that it's a lot easier to take on an accent than to get rid of an accent.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you try, see if you can start to copy like a British or a Scottish accent. And that way, you see, once you get one, it's really easy to get others.
I understand what you're saying, but that's where the problem lies, because I say that in the sense that Nigeria was a British colony under Britain, or British government, for almost 300 years, and Nigeria only had independence as at 1960.
Sure.
So basically...
It had British accents anyway.
Yeah, basically it has the accent as much as one can discern.
Yeah, right.
Like when I'm here, sometimes I'll listen to the different ethnic groups.
Right.
And they all have a common base of accent, but when you listen attentively, you find out that there is a slight variation in accent. That sometimes when I talk to people, I say, hey, accent is not a big issue, because even in different families, you have different, in the same family, you have people don't talk exactly the same way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I was just fooling with you.
Magnus, this is Dan again.
Oh.
One thing that I know that you probably feel like, because I remember feeling the same thing, was that when they heard my accent, they automatically deducted IQ points.
Exactly.
And so, at times, I would use that to my advantage.
Right, exactly.
And I would say, oh, please think that I'm stupid while I eat your lunch.
Right, that's good, Dan.
That's funny, because when I was working for
you... I don't want to interrupt you, but we should begin class, so
okay.
Let me get a roll call here. I've got you and Dan. Who else? I heard someone else's laughter.
Helen's here.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes, indeed.
Here.
I'm sorry, was that Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Howdy.
Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. Anyone else? Did I miss anyone? Good. It's exactly half. How nice. So, okay, have you all lit your candles and all in preparation of exotic things to come?
No, not yet.
Please?
I'm never sure whether we do it before or during.
Oh, just whenever you like, but the more we're sort of ready, then the quicker we can go and save as much time for, you know.
Okay.
Okay, let me know when you're ready.
I'm lit.
Everybody else?
Ready.
Okay, cool. Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim. Let's see. What am I in? White masculine down. For a while. I think I'll change that after a bit. So, in knowing... So, Magnus, how is in knowing different than seeking knowledge for you?
In knowing, the difference I can make out quickly is kind of like a confirmation that I know they're about their existence. I acknowledge that, that they're always willing to be of help when I need it.
I see. So you felt that it gave you more leverage than seeking knowledge even?
Kind of in a way, but it's basically that now, you know, with, and that's what why I was saying that it's kind of being aware of they're always there, you know.
Right.
But they're always there, you know, when I need them. I know about their presence. I know about how they can help me. Something like that.
Yeah, no, I understand. That's interesting. So it almost made you feel more of an equal.
Yes.
Cool.
Or a team.
Yeah, or a team. Yeah, exactly. Well, part of a whole. Dan, what differences did you see between in knowing and seeking knowledge?
Well, it took me almost all week before I realized the subtlety of the change. And it was just wound up being a confidence level, an elevation in confidence level, I think is about the only way I can describe it.
That others have said that before you also. It's sort of like standing on a square rather than trying to attain a square.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's... that's good. I'm really glad you saw that, even though you say it's subtle. In some sense, it's subtle, and yet once you've seen that, it's sort of like what Magnus says, it isn't actually so subtle. But it means that you're good. You're really working on your perceptions, being able to perceive these differences, which is good. Helen, how about you?
Well, there was the same shift in my centering physically in my posture. When I started out, though, the tingling felt stronger. And then as the week progressed, I felt more like an energy flow in my body rather than a tingle in parts of my body. And then when I did it this morning, the word that came to me was I felt more like a warrior.
Okay. So you notice more in the moment. If you were to take sort of a kaleidoscope picture of your entire week, how would you say that you changed or you were affected by making that statement in knowing I greet you? Not so much now in the moment, but
okay.
Over.
Well, somewhat of a strange week. I was sick on Thursday and Friday and yesterday, and even a little bit this morning, although I feel much better the last couple of hours.
So
it was a week in which... I did some things at work that received a lot of attention.
Okay.
And I felt like it was positive attention, and I felt like I took it in and held it and used it rather than sort of backing away from it.
Sure. Okay, now, so you were sick.
Yeah.
Did you do some energy handling to see if you could affect that?
No, I thought about it, but I didn't. It was interesting in the sense that the taking that energy in that I was receiving it, I think it almost was like it felt too much, and when I got sick, all I wanted to do was sleep, and I didn't want to change that. I just wanted to sleep.
Okay. Okay. So even so, even to make that better, I mean, if you felt you needed the rest or the break and whatever, which is fine, what could you have done, knowing what you know about air energies, to facilitate that?
Well, let's see. I felt like I wanted the sleep almost for integration.
I understand that.
And so I guess maybe the energy I could have done was easy flow, increased easy flow.
That would be one. If you want to integrate something, you know, and your body is somehow reacting to something, and maybe you do or maybe you don't know what it's reacting to exactly, which really doesn't matter so much, but what would occur to you would allow for a higher degree of integration? Just, I mean, if you just wanted to sort of kind of tone yourself up physically so that you made the best use of what was going on, what color would you have taken on or gotten rid of, say?
I'm not sure. Well, it would be physical, I guess. I'm not...
Well, that's not a color.
No, well, clear.
Okay. See, now you're talking magic. Okay, so it would probably be clear.
Right.
Now, when you say you're not sure, you know, you don't have to be sure. But what you do have to do is try something. You have to experiment.
Uh-huh.
So clear would be a good place to start. And what characteristic do you feel would help this integration process?
Can I tell you where I'm confused?
No, tell me where you're clear. Well, if you want to tell me where you're confused, if you like talking about confusion, that's okay. But see, just don't worry so much about that.
Okay.
Just, I mean, what does integration imply?
Carrier?
Well, don't think so much characteristics right now.
Oh.
What would the process of integration imply?
Absorption.
Right, exactly. Absorption of more elements.
Right.
Because it could be that you're stuck too much. I mean, we're doing one element at a time.
Right.
We've only looked at air.
Right. And,
and you just spoke of confusion. Do you see, I'm just using what you're feeding me to get a picture.
Okay, something's coming to me. It's getting clearer.
Okay.
I was mediating a lot of fire at work this week.
I bet you were.
And my physical symptoms included a sore throat and pain in my joints.
Right, exactly. So you were holding too much fire.
Yes.
But we haven't studied fire yet.
I know, and that's why I was confused.
Right, that's okay. That's okay, because you know that we said all air has fire in it.
That's right.
Unless it's totally non-moving air.
No, this was very moving week.
And it still could have some fire. But, so, you know, just right off the bat, if you're dealing only able to deal, so to speak, in one element, but you're wanting to have a greater sort of mix of elements, I would go up in mutables. So I didn't have to be stuck in one element.
Okay.
What color?
Clear, to start with, because she was being affected on the physical levels. And then I would check in and see if it was a question of my beliefs or anybody's beliefs that was holding me back. If it were, then I'd get rid of right reactive. But even if you were confused, why wouldn't you, I would go up in powder blue, stable, or powder blue clarity. So I wasn't any more confused. See, the point I'm trying to, I'm not picking on you. The point I'm trying to show you is if you want to learn magic, start acting like a magician. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when something happens, meet it with an experiment.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I hear what you're saying. I feel like what I sort of succumbed to was that it was going to take too much energy for me to, I tried to think it, and then I just kind of lost it.
I understand that, and that's okay. So you've had that experience.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this so everyone benefits from your experience.
Right.
Because this is so common in our lives. I mean, just the whole thing that you've presented here is so useful because, you know, most of us don't witness what makes us sick. Most of us don't witness or observe what makes us chronically ill over time, what creates patterns that are encoded in us over time and so forth. But if you guys want to, I'll teach you how to know that. But you have to be willing to experiment. And you have to be willing to bring stuff just like you did to class and let us tear it all apart and enjoy the process. So that's all I'm doing. I'm showing you all how to take something apart and look at it. I'm not criticizing you.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with it. I think the kind of, I don't know if it was fear, that feels too strong, but resistance.
It's resistance.
That if I couldn't think clearly, I might make it worse.
So, take on white clarity.
Okay.
See, if you just listen to your own words, you know what to do.
Yeah.
So, isn't that a nice kind of formulation? You know, make my statements, what my mind is telling me, and then take that statement and turn it into some magical remedy. Because, see, you're dealing with your mind here.
Yeah.
And your mind is telling you what you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to go with that, because that's what everybody does. And it's also okay to say, okay, mind, now let's see what you've given me. Now let's see what I want to do with that. And how, what is it now? We'll try this. So cool. I took all the time, but I wanted you all to see how you can break something down.
Okay.
I'm really glad that you saw that it was excess fire, too.
Yeah, that was the only thing that felt clear.
I thought we arrived in fire one tonight.
I know. It's good timing.
Yeah. So, Randy, what was the difference for you between in knowing and seeking knowledge?
Well, it all depended on how I
greeted Earth and Sky. Sometimes I would just say, I greet you. Sometimes I would say, seeking knowledge. And I think a couple of times I said, knowing. So
you sort of were doing it somewhat mixed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mixed. But I did notice a connection, and it was mostly in that fraction of an instant of time where I would recognize, have a knowing that there was, that I was a part of something else.
Good. Now, one of the reason why we do a specific greeting for a week is we're wanting to build a sort of a vocabulary of these different forms. Every week we're going to use a different form. So it'll help you if you take that week and say, I'm just doing this form that the class is doing, no other.
Yeah.
For the whole week.
All right.
That way, you'll have lots of different variations of that. In other words, what does in knowing, that's why I'm asking you all, what is the difference between seeking knowledge and in knowing? Because one of these days, you're going to go out and need to know what to greet the earth and the sky with. For reasons of your survival, thrival, or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? And so if you know what each of these does, then you know what to do in any given situation. It may be that if you had to write a thesis and you had to do it in a week and you greeted all that week in knowing, that you'd find it would just flow out as though somebody else were writing it for you. That would be useful to know if that were the case. It might be that if you were doing seeking knowledge during that week, you'd be doing some great research, but you wouldn't be able to write much. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Cool. Jennifer, what was the difference for you between the two?
I sort of say that I made a real effort.
Can't quite hear you.
How about now?
Yeah.
Make a real effort to say the ritual and then listen.
Yes.
And I felt the stillness inside me. And then it was like I wasn't quite getting it. But something was coming in, but that the mind was like, you can't have this. I'm getting a block there.
Okay. Well, what would you guess from that experience would be, say, the place of your knowing? Or what part of you would have knowing, just from what you told us?
Well, the center of me, through my heart and up through my head.
Right, and the mind would not necessarily be a part of that, would it?
No, and it didn't like that.
Well, okay, so then you see what you've observed, which I'm sure Ellen did too, I think.
Yes.
What you've observed is that there is several parts of us, and that these parts seem to compete for authority. So you have to then decide what is more important, what the mind thinks and says, or what you know. And even though society doesn't necessarily consider this, by and large, or most of the people that we come in contact with, you are not required to believe anything that your mind tells you, are you?
No.
That's correct.
Now that you mention it, I did, when I get that, that feeling, that
yeah.
You should do it, I was more aware of that, too. I took that choice over the logical one.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, so that was happening.
Yeah, so that's your knowing, don't you see?
Yeah, okay.
And so that's what we're doing. We're drawing a map. We're mapping our insides. We're mapping these different lands and areas, and we're finding out what are the markers, what are the barometers that we can use. That's what we're doing this for. So now you know that there is a special quiet sensation that occurs along with your knowing that does not occur in mind. So if someone were to ever ask you now, how do you know? You know, you hear people say, this, I know so-and-so is going to happen or may happen, and someone says, how do you know? Now you know how you know, because it came from that place, not the other place. You've even asked me that question in class before.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know?
Yeah. You just know this? What?
Because it has a quality, it has a sensation attached to it, right?
Yes.
Correct. That's cool. So, you see how all of you all sharing really builds something that you, all your parts feed into here, which is really good. That's why we do this. And then this coming week, because we're going to now be working with fire, we're going to go out and do sky above and earth below, seeking power, I greet you. Now understand that power is not defined as other people define power, meaning power over other people or anything. It is, we're talking about the power that initiates our life force. We're talking about the power that initiates our choosing, our choices. We're talking about the power that gives us empowerment, warriorship, in the true sense. Not to beat up on others, but to stand in our knowledge. So, cool, you all did very well with that. So, Magnus, what did you do with message boxes? Did you send any and did you get any replies?
I sent a lot of them with different colors and characteristics.
Now, remember that if we're sending message boxes, we don't use characteristics, just a color and a message.
Oh, no, I'm confident
something.
You're right.
Yeah, message-wise, we'll get to helping other people. That's a different little issue. I just thought I'd start with message boxes.
I got something confused here. Yes, I did it, and before I did it, I had few people in my mind, people to try it out with.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried them out, but with different colors.
Okay.
I did not get a response, but one of those I had in mind to try it on, before I did the trial, the person called and didn't leave the message, but when I saw the phone number, I recognized it. So even...
Oh, so someone called even before you sent them a box?
Yes.
That can happen. Time is really sort of a funny thing when you start doing magic. So just just try some other people and see what happens. But that's cool. Good that you did it. Yeah, I've had the same experience, too. I've had, you know, just really focus on, because a lot has to do with how much energy you put into it. And sometimes I just focus on that I'm going to send someone a message box, and then they call before I ever get around to doing it. So that's just fine. So, Dan, what did you do with message boxes and what kind of results?
I did send some, and I feel like that I did get some results. I asked someone to talk with me, and ultimately I wound up having an opportunity to have a conversation with that person.
Oh, cool. So did the conversation seem any different as the result of having precluded it with a message box?
The person initiated the conversation rather than me.
Was that unusual?
Yes.
So that it would seem from your observations that that message had an effect?
I feel like it did.
Yeah, very good. Do you recall what color you sent them?
I tried various things. I'm not sure which one.
Oh, good.
Or which combination, actually.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a good way to do it.
I want to cover all bases.
Yeah, I did it that way, too. Helen, did you have a chance to try any message boxes?
Yeah. I sent to Randy and to a couple of other people who weren't in the class.
Right.
The people that weren't in the class were people I haven't spoken to in a while, and the message was to phone, but that didn't happen. And I checked in with Randy, and he didn't get the message I sent. So, nor was I aware of receiving his message.
Oh, okay. Did you all set it up that you would send messages?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever have a sense that you got a message from him? Or that
No.
You were not aware?
No, I wasn't aware.
Okay. Did he send it to you after you got sick?
I don't know if he did after I did, but when we talked about it, we checked in with each other a couple of times, and that was before.
Before you got sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I got sick, I didn't call him just
right.
To find out.
Well, that's what I thought. Well, it's, some people find this works really easily, and some people have to kind of work at it for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it may start working. So it's just one of the many techniques that we are going to study, you know? And also, water boxes work for some people a lot stronger when we get to water. So,
okay.
Don't be concerned.
All right.
So, Randy, what kind of things did you do other than to Helen, who didn't receive your message?
Basically, it was just to Helen, and she didn't receive my messages. I thought I received one of hers, but it was wrong.
Well, that's okay, but you didn't know what the message was, but you had a sense that you got a message.
Well, sort of. It was like I woke up in the middle of the night and I kind of thought, I knew she was going to be sending me a message, so I kind of...
Right.
Trying to think of what the message was, so... but what I thought the message was not correct.
Okay. How do you... If you feel that someone is sending you a message, how would you hear it?
If I didn't know they were sending me a message?
No, I would say more if you did know.
No.
Yeah, actually, it really is either way, but it's a little easier to consider from the reference of if I did know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll just tell you. Oh, go ahead.
Probably if something just jumped out at me that was totally incongruent with my thoughts.
That's good. And it also could be a little misleading.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Years ago, before I had studied any of this, I discovered, I remember my dog once was standing, I was just in the house doing things, and I kept saying to myself in my head, not out loud, water, wondering, but I noticed it. Most of the time, an extraneous word in your own thought stream would not stand out that much. But it caught my attention, and then I looked down at my doggy who was standing at her water bowl, which was empty, looking straight at me, and I realized that she was saying, in my head, water. Of course, it was in my voice, or my thought voice, that I heard it. So that's the dilemma that we've got here. You will not hear other people's messages in their voice. You'll hear it in your own voice.
Would it depend on anything to do with what box that they sent the message in? Is that how you'd hear it or receive it?
Not really. I mean, it will depend on kind of where in your inner realm it sort of activates. In what part of your consciousness, so to speak, or if it's an air box of your mental makeup or air receivers, but other than that, not really. I mean, if they sent it in powder blue, clear, or white, and they said, call me, or I love you, or whatever. See, the problem here is that depending on the kind of message, if it's I love you, you might get a warm, nice feeling. You might not get the words, I love you. You might get a feeling of just sort of thinking about them in very nice ways. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Helen.
Yeah.
Now, you were saying a minute ago that you would be receiving it through your thought voice.
Yeah. If it comes to you as a vocal message, yes.
Oh, as a vocal message, okay. Not as a mental message.
Well, that's still a mental message.
Yeah, but then you were describing what was sent in a feeling.
Right, because if I send you, say, a message that says, I love you, and if we have some closeness and so forth, you may not get that message as your head telling you, I love you. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
You may instead just get a feeling of appreciation of our relationship.
Yes. Yeah. So, it would be a more of a, it could be receptive in feeling then.
Correct. And it doesn't mean it was a water box message either. They would occur in a different place. But I'm just giving you all some understandings that when you receive a message box, particularly an air message box, you may take it in a number of ways. But what you said, Randy, is really good. It probably would stand out or apart from your kind of flow of thoughts or images. It wouldn't quite fit in. I think that's really good. I mean, I wasn't, like when Tethers told me she wanted water, I was thinking about God knows what, but it had nothing to do with water. So, it's sort of like, let's see, and I was saying to this person, I think I'll do it this way, water, and then, you know, I mean, it was totally out of place. So it almost made me jump.
Yeah.
So just some clues. Just some clues. So Jennifer, what did you do with message boxes?
Well, I sent a few, and I didn't think I didn't get anything back from the ones I was sending them to.
Mm-hmm.
But we were gone since Thursday. We just got in a bit ago, and on the answering machine, I had some strange messages.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like someone called and said that this was the message for such and such at this number, and it just passed through me. I didn't recognize anything. And then the next one that was strange was there was a recording on there that the sheriff's office was looking for some little boy. So, am I intercepting someone else's messages or not getting the right tune to them? Or?
Well, it...
Did I cause that?
Well, it may be that, you know, when you put yourself in the mode to send out messages... You were also sort of like getting on the internet, you know.
Oh, okay.
So you might have attracted some messages, particularly, you know how it feels like if you're trying to find somebody and you haven't a clue how to do it?
Yeah.
It has that feeling of sort of helplessness or urgency or something.
Yeah.
And... people that have, say, for instance, like that sheriff's message is what it sounds like to me, because they wanted to know, they were trying to really track something down, okay? And so you opened the field, and they had the desire, and they just sort of sent it right to you. Like turning on a big magnet, you know.
Okay.
So that means your pull in is real good. So everybody in the class send Jennifer a message. And it's not so important that we get totally what the message is at this point. It's if you can start with getting that feeling, I feel like I got something. I made a contact. That's really good. So, and you're all's willingness to work with it. So then some of you may have had a chance to do some energy balancing for self or others. And if you did want to share it, we'd love to hear. So Magnus, I gather you sent some people some energy boxes that needed help. Is that it?
Yes, I didn't get to, balance anybody's energy. It was kind of like it was a week. Well, let me ask you this briefly.
So you didn't actually send anybody any boxes for help? Is that what you're saying?
The energy balance and then I didn't do it on anybody.
Okay. But what was your question?
My question is basically, now you're talking about the forms we can have a sign of if the message is received or not, you know. I was thinking of one of the persons that sent the message, send the kid, come and get my lawnmower, but I was, in a way, expecting a call. I'm wondering if that has something to do with, acknowledging having received the message, or
right.
Is it just something that just happened?
So, explain, you're saying that...
Okay, one of the people I sent this airbox message...
Right.
...called me.
Okay.
Didn't call. But one of them sent the song to come and get my lawnmower.
Okay, but you had sent a message that said, call me.
Yes, so I was wondering if this has anything to do with my message.
Yes, I'm sure it does. Because like I'm saying, people may get the message, but they may not interpret it just the way you did it, but it makes them focus on you.
Okay.
And the only way you can test that is to ask yourself, was that coincidence or not? In other words, what is the probability that they would have done that if I had not sent the message? You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. That's what threw me off course, because they've done that before. You know, this was the second time, so I was wondering if, since this is the week of sending messages, I was wondering if it has anything to do with the message I sent.
It well may.
Yeah.
So you have to, but it's still, at this point, it's a little non-conclusive.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. So, Dan, did you have a chance to work on yourself or others with any energy boxes?
Yes, I did. I did. I just went crazy this week with using energy boxes on myself. I've altered my behavior all week.
And are you said so you have driven yourself over the brink of sanity? Is that what we're saying?
Some would argue that point. Yes. I've had a lot of fun with it this week. I did. I had one thing that I was able to do.
No wonder Helen was worried about doing it.
No, I'm already crazy.
But you didn't want to. You knew Dad was doing it and going crazy. You didn't want any more of that. She got your message, Dan.
Apparently so.
Thanks, Dan.
I had a real special thing that happened on Thursday evening. My great aunt, 89 years old, was on her deathbed, and they had called the family in to, for the last moments there. And I was able to go over to the hospital, and I'm surrounded by, all the family members, and I'm thinking, I really want to do something here. And so, of course, I thought about the sun yellow, and I was holding her right hand in my right hand, and I was next to the hospital. And I'm looking around, and you know how drab hospital rooms are anyway.
Sure.
And I look down on her wrist. On her right wrist is the hospital admission band, and lo and behold, it has sunshine yellow on it.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
So I just sat there for quite some time, just doing some free flow, and nobody knew what was going on. Nobody suspected what I was doing, but I feel like that it did help her, and she later that night just eased right on out.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, and that's the one color you didn't have to ask permission for anyway.
Right.
Very good. And you did a bunch on yourself, too, and you feel it was effective?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing combinations of different things to sharpen up myself mentally when I was not feeling sharp, or to lighten my mood, or to calm me down, or I guess I could be classified as an energy box junkie now.
Good. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Because the more you do them, the more you learn about them. I still learn every time I go through them. Learn tons. Randy, how about you?
Yellow, we don't have to ask permission for?
Yes, we're going to be talking about that in tonight's class.
Okay.
No worries. No, thanks for asking, but it is coming up real soon.
I'm sorry, Alan, what was the question again?
If you had a chance to help anybody with their own problems or stuff with using boxes or yourself?
No, I didn't. Didn't try to help anybody with the boxes.
Yeah, did you know that Helen was sick?
No, I didn't.
Too bad she didn't call you and tell you to send her some boxes.
If I'd known, I would have sent her some.
Oh, thanks. I'll remember next time.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been a nice opportunity to work on somebody, yep. And Jennifer, did you have a chance to send anybody any healing boxes or balancing?
No, rules of the road thing, so I'm not sending anyone yet, but I did myself.
Oh, did you? So how did that work?
It worked really well. Where we went was down to Lake Powell, and it's kind of a cosmic place, you know, a lot of heat and the hot rocks and all the water and stuff.
Yes, indeed.
And every time we hit that, I feel real good, and then I get these banger headaches at the base of my head.
From the heat.
I don't think it's necessarily the heat, but I feel real good, and then, so I started working with the boxes, and first I started with physical things, and I thought, this has got to be an expandable, compressible thing, you know, my teeth hurt, my sinuses hurt, I didn't get any results from that, and I kept, and I got to thinking about it, so this clear blue sky, it had to be spiritual, so I started working with the powder blue ones. And that didn't work. So then I went and laid down a while, and that didn't help. And then I cooled off in the water, and that didn't help. And I got to thinking out all the blue sky bringing in so much, but I was fighting it physically.
Okay.
So I did what eased it off and made things tranquil was two boxes of powder blue carrier up.
Okay.
And a clear insulator down.
Good.
And it passed, and it was such a relief.
So, do you understand why that worked?
Not really.
Well,
like I said, I felt all the pressure.
Right, right.
My
feet
get the hurting, and that, I think, well, it's physical.
Right. Well, carrier in any color allows for a greater absorption of fire energy. Remember that air carries fire primarily. It can carry lightweight things, but fire is the main thing it carries. I mean, any place that you have hot air, it's air carrying fire.
Okay.
Whether it's a furnace or, I mean, you know, like you go to down to Moab and they have a place in the park called the Fiery Furnace. Well, you are in Lake Powell, there's a fiery furnace with a lot of water as well, which just creates more steam, in a sense, magically. So it's like, how do we use the heat? Well, if you are resisting the powder blue because of any physical blockage, and you increase carrier, because there's a lot of contrast. You've got red water and then and a lot of water, and then you get the sky blue sky. That's a lot of contrast.
Yeah.
So carrier allows the fire to be, like mediator, allows the fire to be used more effectively. Air can carry more fire that way when you take on carrier. And the clear insulator sort of just sorted things out.
Okay, now, what about when you get a headache feeling in your, you would say it was a sinus thing. Pressure there. And that comes to me that it should be compressible or expandable should help that. But there's no effect when you do that with it.
Well, because if it's excess fire, you can't expand or compress fire.
Oh, okay.
You can expand or compress air, but not fire. But mediator would allow you to utilize the fire.
All right.
So will carrier. You know, if you are too expanded in air, in clear, you would be spacey. That's where it's good to look at the symptoms of excess and shortage.
Yeah, I
think
so.
Because expanded or compressed would be the same as excess or shortage, wouldn't it? Well, you've got a table of excesses and you've got a table of shortages, and basically those would correspond pretty nicely to expanded or compressed.
Okay. I was thinking, like, pressure in the tire, I guess.
Yeah, but you can't see, that's too physical stuff. You've got to figure it out magically, not just physically, like science, the way scientists would. No, but that's all right. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just showing you that you're on the right track. You just have to kind of always go back to what do the characteristics do. So it's good that you felt like something is too compressed because I have pressure. That is so. But if you had done, like in doing boxes that are in clear, white, and potted blue, in either expandable or compressible, up or down, and you look at what you found out, you'll find out that it isn't always, compressed air in that sense or expanded air in that sense does not always match what a compressed tire would be like, or an expanded tire, or a compressed organ, or an expanded organ. It's a question of how what exactly is compressed or expanded, and yeah, you're on the right track. Just keep back playing with it. See, you found the answer because you were willing to keep experimenting. But that's all right. That's what's valuable. It's not the right answer that's important. It's the process.
And then it's just so magical. It's like, why did I get that?
Well, yeah. That's good. Cool. So any questions or comments on the homework at all before we go on into talking about fire?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Before today, I was kind of like sending the boxes in whichever direction, since it says that it will be carried to whoever's meant for.
Yeah, if you put the face of their name in it.
Yes. Then at the point this morning, I was, you know, reading the coursework and you know, how the each of the elements has a direction or something like north, south.
Right, right. And air is east.
East. So I began to kind of face east.
You can do that. That's fine. We do that in other things that we do.
Okay. So I was wondering if...
It doesn't matter. It's because once you build a box and you put a color in it and you either put a characteristic to help somebody or just a color to help somebody, or you put a message in it, got the color and put their face in it, and you throw it, it is programmed to go to them wherever they are. You don't even have to know where they are.
My question is, before we do that, you know, before going through the process, we have to face the east?
No.
Okay.
You can be standing on your head if you like. It does not matter.
Okay.
Alan?
Yeah, and go ahead.
Is that piece done?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Sure.
When stuff was going on at work that I helped intercede in,
mm-hmm.
I started out thinking I would try to do a color box very quickly because an air box, because the person was asking for help. But I found I couldn't listen to the dialogue and be aware of everything going on and getting it going in any way that my mind could track. So I had this intention, but I never actually completed the steps of it.
Okay. In other words, someone asked you for help.
Right.
Okay.
And there are actually a lot of people involved, so there was a lot going on.
Sure.
And but it did turn out very well, actually. And so I started wondering, but I thought this might also be sloppy. I mean, it wasn't magic, maybe, but if you have an intention and you don't actually get to carry through with the steps, is there still help magically? Or, I mean, I think they know based on what we've been saying so far, but...
No, not as... It isn't quite right. It isn't no.
Oh.
In this regard. First of all, there is no such thing as time. So, realizing that, there are many things that can happen. You send the person a message box. They call you before you ever sent the message box.
Uh-huh.
You don't know that they didn't get that message box because there is no such thing as time.
Okay, but I got about as far as color and then what I, and characteristic, I guess, that I was hoping for them.
You had a selection of what you might send.
Right, but I never, you know, actually compressed air.
Right, I understand.
Never created the box.
It's better to do the steps, but people do find when we get up to doing spell work,
uh-huh,
that even before they release the spell, when they're working on it and planning it and doing the tarot readings on it and so forth, a lot of people find that parts of or any even sometimes all of the spell starts to manifest.
Okay.
Because it's a process. It isn't just a process which only begins at the moment you light the candle and say the verses. So all throughout the process, that's why you all are learning now. The reason I harp on these things is I'm teaching you all through persistence to always sort of keep your magical work fairly clean and as precise as you can, because that way the carry or force of your intention is a lot stronger.
Okay.
And also because you don't want extraneous stuff in there. So whenever you're learning right now from the very start, someone says, I want help. And you're saying, okay, what is the situation, how I'm going to deal with it? So, and as you said, you noticed that it was really hard to focus and in on what you needed to do.
In, on the spot, yeah.
Right, right. Well, we're teaching you how to do that.
Yeah.
So, good. You know what I mean? So don't worry about it. You will get better and better. But you get better and better by when there is a chance to do anything magically, do it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that's what then builds it up. So in a moment you say, I know what to do.
Right.
You know. So what, just real quickly though, what were the person's symptoms and what did you pick?
Well, I only got so far as powder blue. This was someone who was very angry and was feeling attacked by other people on a team, and
I guess that there was anger involved. Yeah, and you picked up the anger.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, you couldn't not.
Yes, you cannot. In 10 minutes or so, you'll know exactly how to not.
Oh.
We're going to talk about that.
Oh, when you mean picked up?
You picked up red orange energy.
Yes, you mean I absorbed it.
Yes.
Yeah, so that, yes, when I said you couldn't not, I meant you knew this person was angry. That's what I meant.
Right, but you could not. You see, what I'm saying is that because you wanted to help.
Yeah.
You were, but you were not grounded.
No, I.
Your attention is a magnet. You focused, and therefore you pulled in. Well, that's really good, because it means that your ability to focus and to attract is strong and clear.
Yeah.
Now you got to know what to, how to handle what you attract.
I know.
And that's fine. You're gonna. Yeah. That's what we're gonna talk about. Okay.
Okay.
That's a perfect lead-in. So here we go. Fire is a prime element. Air is not a prime element. Air is a mediator element. Fire is prime. Prime masculine. Outgoing. Radiative force. And it is very powerful. Right on up to the force of the sun. But never pull fire energy from the sun, because you may incandesce if you do, because you can't stop it. It's too big. We have other ways to do that. It is what is referred to as the irresistible force. So, now right from the first, pay close attention to this. We do not handle fire energy the same way we do air energy, i.e. you don't breathe in fireboxes, because you will hurt yourself if you do. You won't die. But you may end up like one student did, with a sore throat or a overheated spine for months. And it's very hard to get rid of it magically once you've taken it in. You can do things to get rid of it, but it isn't as easy as you think. So you do not breathe in fireboxes, nor do you breathe out fireboxes. We will teach you dragon's breath, a way of doing fire breathing, but not boxes. We handle them through the at the arms and up the arms. We'll talk about that. So, because we're dealing with fire, you know, treat it with respect, but don't be afraid of it. Because you see already from Helen's experience, she was dealing with somebody's need, and there was a lot of fire energy, whether it was in that person or all over the place or whatever. And once you know how to handle it, you can handle all of it very, very well. You don't, however, need to put yourself in a place where you burst into fire, as some magicians have done. That's sloppy magic. Okay, so what are our fire correspondences? Any energy is fire energy, including kinetic energy, which is the force in something moving. i.e. a falling snowflake has fire energy. A dripping icicle has fire energy because it's dripping, not because it's hanging there. It's not potential energy. We're not talking about a marble that has not moved. That has no fire energy inherent in that it is going to move or could move only when it starts to move. The direction is south. The tool is the sword or the knife, and in magical terms, a keyed knife or sword is called an athame. The elemental spirit is the salamander. Interesting that, and I don't know if you all know this, but after fires have burnt an area of timber and woods and so forth, the first living thing that appears at the same time as the first rain, and it appears right after the first rain, is the salamander. And even though we're not talking about the physical lizard-type salamander when we say that the elemental spirit is a salamander, but there's some connection. Salamanders occur in fires, around fires, any kind of fire. wood-burning stove, campfires, open fires. They are ball-shaped. You can see them. If you stare into the fire, you'll see little areas of the fire that glow, and they seem to be partially ball-shaped, and little ashes and so forth seem to fall around them rather than through them. And they sometimes move around in the fire. Those are very useful to have because when you have salamanders in your fire, you get more thermal heat from less fuel. It makes better use of the fuel. And if you don't douse the fire with water, but bed it down so that it sort of smolders, you keep your salamanders alive and it's much easier to restart. So salamanders are very good to have around, very useful. The part of a person is the will or the desire, what you want. Now, at the physical level, fire energy deals with our metabolism and our neural or nerve function. At the mental and emotional level, it has to do with our enthusiasms and our angers. Anger is fire energy. It is not an emotion. It's not water. It's fire. At the spirit level, it deals with life force, life vitality, in Chinese terms, qi, or Japanese would call it ki, prana. Now, there's a little discussion in your notes about bank issues, which is the buried unconscious. So read that and be aware of it. Because oftentimes when we start dealing with fire energies, just because of the charge involved, people can get sort of bank experiences coming up. And what happens, that's when you get a lot of emotional charge with no data. It's a very special part of mind, which we will study later on, that modern psychology doesn't deal with, doesn't know exists. And it's the part of mind that has to do with all compulsivity, addiction, and criminal-type behaviors and so forth. So it's good to know about and good to stay clear of. And if you feel that you're having some problem with it, then just call me and we'll talk about it, what you do about it. There are things right here in your notes telling you how you can work with it or key it out, so to speak, by saying come to present time and things like that. Okay, direction of view is future word or forward, optimistic. Will always moves towards, or desire moves us towards what we don't yet have. That's what it's for, is to keep things creating. Keeps the universe running. So desire is the fire energy that the universe drives on. How about that? Colors, I'm not going to talk about the colors right now because we're going to go through them in great detail in just a minute. So any questions on the correspondences before we talk about the characteristics? Anyone?
No.
Okay. So now, pay attention to the characteristics, because they're a little different from what we had in air. Okay, fire is non-mutable. Remember, air was mutable. Fire is non-mutable. It cannot change into any other element. However, it can change from band to band. We're going to work with five different fire bands. And part of the instability, I'm creating words here, of fire is that even though it cannot change to another element, it changes from one band or color to another very rapidly and easily. And that can create problems. So you can stabilize your fire by taking on more non-mutable in any color. That will help to stabilize that from shifting from band to band. Power. Power, as we said, is the force of motion or movement. It's not the force, even though the notes say it's the force of movement inherent in something, it actually is the force of movement in something that is moving. I'm not talking about potential movement, we're talking about when something moves. And it is not the same as strength. Power and strength are two different characteristics for two different elements. Power is fire, strength is earth. So when you get a lot of strongly moving air, like a tornado, that's force or power, fire energy in the air. But a building that wants to stand there and resist it, that is anchored well into the concrete foundation and so forth, that is earth characteristic of strength, which is the force of endurance, or the ability to stay where some permanency, to stay where you are. So don't confuse those two. Now these two are very important. You will rarely ever find them not both together. Motivator and radiative. Fire is a motivator. Anything that has fire energy tends to motivate. Not everything, but often. Like a red traffic light. That is a motivator. It motivates you to stop. A green traffic light is also fire energy. It motivates you to go. So anything that is a motivator is an example of fire energy, irregardless of what it is. If someone is going to have a snowball in their hand and they're ready to throw it right at you, that's a motivator. Because what do? You reach down and start making a snowball as fast as you can to throw it back. That's fire energy right there. Fire is radiative. Even though fire needs air to burn in most cases, not always, because it is radiative, it does not actually need that. Can anybody think of an example that you see every day of your life, all around you, of fire energy that does not have to have air to burn?
Radio waves?
Radio waves. Let's see. Well, they travel in air, right?
They can also travel in a vacuum, can't they?
Probably. So that would be acceptable. But there's an even better one than that. You see every day.
Sunlight?
It's not sunlight. Well, sunlight would be an example because it doesn't go through air to get here, right? Just after it gets here. Jennifer said something. I didn't hear what it was.
Daylight.
Oh, you said the same thing.
Yeah.
Smaller example than that, but used for the same purpose. Nobody's getting it?
Thoughts?
No. Thoughts are air, not fire.
Okay, we give up.
No, you can't give up that easily. Randy, what would be an example? Look around you. What's an example of something that burns and gives light and does not use air?
My body?
Do you use air?
Yeah, I use air.
You see it every day of your life?
A light bulb?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
You got it? A light bulb is a perfect example. There is no air in a light bulb. There may be air energy in a light bulb, but there's no physical air. Because if the light bulb is transparent, has clarity, has compressibility, has stability, i.e. stable, you know, we know there's air there, but it doesn't have physical air in it for the fire to travel through. It's in a vacuum. And the fire, the light comes right out without any problem. So, think about this radiative thing, because you're going to see a lot of examples of radiative that do not necessarily look like fire energy in any other way. Or the same with motivator. How about sounds? Are sounds radiative?
Doesn't sound need air to be heard?
We're not talking about whether it needs or not needs air. That was just an example that fire does not need to have air because of its radiativeness. It did not say it does not have air.
Okay.
So, but aren't sounds radiative? If they were not, you couldn't hear me talking right now. It's the radiativeness of sound that allows it to travel over the wires, and so to speak, the impulses. Vibrations are radiative. See, that fire energy that you picked up was radiative, right?
Right.
So it did not require you to pull it specifically, and yet, because you were more receptive perhaps than others, it could come to you even more easily, and so forth. But the radiative factor of it makes it very susceptible. And fire is weightless. It has no mass. It has force, but it has no mass. So it has no weight. You can't weigh it. You can measure it, but you can't weigh it. You can measure fire energy in degrees, decibels, heat, like centimeter, no, not centimeters. What do we call that? Temperature. Degrees, right. Ohms, the resistance of it, all kinds of ways to measure it, decibels, but you can't weigh it. You can't weigh willpower, but you can measure it in terms of the effect it produces. And fire is masculine energy because of its motivator, radiative power, and so forth. So, questions on the characteristics. Many less than air, but very dynamic in their action. And you've got some good fire questions, or characteristic questions, to help understand them. But I want to spend a little time on this thing called mixed fires, because it's very important. So, if you would, turn to, I don't know what page it is, because my page number is, looks like 71, is that right? No? My numbers are cut off, so I can't really read them.
Okay. Do you mean like where it says bright red, red orange, yellow orange?
Yes.
Yeah, page 79.
79, thank you. That's the one I want to look at. because these are very important. These are the bands of fire we've been talking about. And Jennifer asked earlier on about sun yellow. So here it is. This is the only color you can send anyone at any time without needing to ask their permission. You can send sun yellow box, billions of them if you want to every being on this planet or any being anywhere without needing permission. And the reason is because it affects spirit and only spirit. It does not, it will affect body function indirectly through what comes from spirit to body or spirit to mind, but it does not predetermine or violate free will, because in that it nourishes spirit directly, it increases spirit's ability to choose or decide, which is not a mind function, it's a spirit function anyway. So any time a person is in distress or is demanded for someone trying to cross over or have a greater degree of spirit capability, you can give them sun yellow. On the other hand, if you are too alert and you can't go to sleep, you may need to get rid of sun yellow, because it often will keep a person awake, not meaning nervousness, just absolute vitalness. Now, see, what happens is with these fire bands is you start adding red and losing yellow as you go down. You start off pure sun yellow, which has no red in it. You start putting some red in, and you start down banding, and you go through all the nervous disorders and so forth. So when you drop next stage down to yellow-orange, this has effect on spirit and on the physical nervous system both. Some of both. So this is where you get the nervous type person that can't sit still. Jittery, something is always twitching or moving if there's too much of it. Or if there's too little of it, a person would have very slow reactions. They would need to speed up their reactions by taking on yellow-orange. It's also a very good party color for being the life of the party. For a comedian, yellow-orange is very important because it allows for very quick timing in terms of reactive, motivative type dialoguing where there's air carrying fire. Now, as you drop down below yellow-orange and you get to red-orange, sort of, oh, like a lot of the taillight lights, or, well, they're kind of more orange than red-orange. Red-orange is sort of, what would you say? It's that real intense red and orange mix. And that's very important. Now remember this, the difference between these colors. Red-orange is the color of anger, pain, infection, fever, inflammation. It's all the undesirables. The major undesirables are red-orange. Because it is a mixture of heat and neural energy both. That's where you destroy the nervous system, not just heat. Metabolic heat does not destroy the nervous system. But heat and neural energy together is what does. You have a fever, you are burning up, you are destroying your nervous system too, and that's the problem. If you just have a lot of heat, which is bright red, the next step down, you can actually go up to 120 degrees safely if you've got a reason to do that, if you've drank a lot of alcohol and you want to burn it out of your system really fast, if you can boost your bright red way up, go right on up to 110, 120, and burn out the alcohol, stay there for about 10, 15 minutes, and then get rid of it, no problem. Does not harm your neural system at all. You may eat everything in sight, because your metabolism is so high, but that's okay. You won't be harmed by the heat. It's also a good way to lose weight, is to increase your bright red. Some people like to wear bright red pajamas to bed, not red-orange. You won't sleep. You'll kill everything in sight. You bite everybody's head off. But bright red, it'll increase your metabolic force and you'll burn off unwanted fats and so forth.
Alan, what about the foods we eat? Do their colors make a difference?
To some degree, but their effects in us make more of a difference. More than their colors.
Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that sometime if you want. Probably the best study of that is probably been done by some of the more level-headed macrobiotics practitioners, not the, you know, ones that have gotten carried away with it and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So then as you start going towards your water colors with reds is when you get these interesting crossovers, such as in deep red or maroon, you could call it, or red-purple, because this is the color of heat in the blood, or heat in the body fluids, fire in the blood, the fire energy of the blood, you could say, the fire of the blood, the power component of the blood, or any of the body fluids, or any fluids that have that combination. And it's the only safe intermix of your reds with your water blues would be in the deep red or red purple. Therefore, if you have a frostbite problem, the process is don't take on bright red to heat it up or you'll do a lot of damage. If you have a frostbite situation, you take on deep red first, because the area is frozen and it's white to correspond to that. It's got mostly air, there's no fire. And then you take on deep red until the area turns deep red, which means that the blood has unfrozen in the tissue. And then you can take on bright red to warm it up. And then electric blue is galactic fire, and we'll work with that when we get to tools, but not now. So we don't do anything with electric blue boxes, so forget about that for right now. So you really need to learn these fire colors and what they do. Because if you don't know, you'll make some pretty good mistakes. You need to know that yellow orange has to do with the neural system being overexcited. Too much energy, not heat, too much energy in the neural system. Or not enough energy in the neural system. And that red orange is too much heat in the neural system, causing anger, pain. See, isn't that neat? Anger and pain, same band. Infection, same band. Fever, same band. It's all red irons. See, now, fire energy has to be ground out into an electrical ground. We're going to talk a lot more about that. So, Helen, when you were dealing with that fire energy, if you had put your hand on an outlet or a light switch and let it pass through you, it would not have built up in you.
Do you have to do that at the moment, or I mean, does it still work if you can do it like 20 minutes later?
You can do it 20 minutes later, but it's not very effective.
Okay.
Because the damage has already been done. you do it then and there. This is how we're going to teach you all how to deal with anger situations or excess fire situations, and the way we're going to do boxes. Don't pull from the sun. We talked about that. You build a box just the same as an air box, whether you're taking it on or getting rid of it. The building of the box is the same. 1, 2, 3, just like we did. And then you look at the color just the same as we did with air, except you're using fire colors. Sun yellow, yellow orange, red orange, bright red, or deep red. Maroon, if you like. Okay. But you'll find that the boxes fill quicker than the air boxes did. And then when you're ready to take them in, you flow the energy up the arms until the box is empty. And allow the energy to enter your whole body, and then you break the empty box on your knee. When you're getting rid of a box, you build a box, 1, 2, 3, look at the color, flow it down your arms, head of your body, until the box is full. Doesn't take very long, a couple of seconds. And then you get rid of the box by throwing it into an electrical outlet. Any electrical outlet, not into computers, not into phonographs, not into sensitive electronic equipment, because you'll blow it sky high, you'll fry the circuitry, and it's very difficult to fix it. But into any major electrical ground or any magical electrical appliance like a stove or refrigerator, a sink, anything that goes to ground, an outlet, a sink, a water pipe, not into the ground. Why not? Why can't you just throw it into the ground? Anybody? Come on, you guys, got a thing. Randy, why can't you throw it into the ground?
Well, because ground would ground it.
No, it wouldn't ground it.
Wouldn't ground it.
That's the problem.
Ah.
How do you create an electrical ground?
You run a water ground.
That's correct. And by so doing, what have you done?
Well, you've stopped the flow of electricity.
No, you've started. You've allowed the flow of electricity. Fire energy will not enter Earth.
Okay.
But you put a copper wire in the Earth. And often they'll take a copper shaft or sometimes rebar or a copper water pipe and drive it 6, 8, 10 feet into the earth. That's water. Water flows into earth. Water penetrates earth. And water carries fire. Now, I know you haven't studied water yet, nor earth, but earth is a resistor. If you look at your electric lines on a pole, they have resistors, insulators. That's earth energy that contain the fire. The fire can't enter those. So you can't just throw a firebox into the ground because it will resist it. It's like lightning. It'll finally go in, but it's destructive. That's why things blow off and get burned, scorch. Trees get burned. People get burned. So you throw your fireboxes into any electrical ground. You can throw them, if you're outside, into a light pole, into a transformer, into an electric line, street lamp.
Anything that has a ground.
Right. Exactly.
You can't break them on your knees like the air box.
No. You don't break air boxes on your knees. Okay, you break air boxes in the corner of a room. You break an empty box on your knee. That means once you've taken all the energy out of the box. Now, listen carefully. There's two different methods here. One is taking fire energy in. I fill the box with appropriate fire energy and, say, characteristic. by putting the characteristic non-mutable, radiative, motivator, etc., one at a time only, one only per box, in electric white in the box, just like you did with air. And then I pull the whole energy from the box up my arms into my body. And once the box is empty, then all you're breaking on your knee is the empty 1, 2, 3 box. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were we supposed to be breaking the air boxes too after we? Or
no.
Started them. Did that break?
You're taking the whole box with an air box.
Okay.
Because you snorted.
All right.
But with a fire box, you're actually not pulling the box structure in because you're pulling the energy in. It's less violent, so you don't break the box. Now, there's an exception to that. The exception is when you start doing healing work, if you want to build a firebox like Sun Yellow and smash it into a blocked area on your body, in that case, you actually smash the whole box and everything right directly into the body. But that's different. This is not what we're talking about yet.
Okay.
So once you've emptied the box, you simply break the empty box on your knee. But when you're going to get rid of a box of fire energy, with or without a characteristic, you build a box, you flow the appropriate color down your arms into the box, then flow the appropriate characteristic, the word, down your arms and into the box. And so now that characteristic is in the box in electric white. And then throw the box and all into an outlet or any electrical ground. Is that cool?
So, Alan, when that was happening to me, do I actually have to touch an electric outlet or just let it flow in?
Okay. We're going to go through all of that.
Okay.
But next week. Okay.
Okay.
But just so that your question is answered, you can do it either way, except most people need to work a long time with an actual contact with the ground.
Okay.
Because otherwise they won't get a good enough flow. And you won't get rid of all of that fire energy because it can build up very fast.
Okay.
But you can shoot it over a distance, yes. And we'll learn to do that in self-defense. Do lightning bolts, fire rods, all kinds of things. Flamethrowers.
Okay.
You know, but you have to learn how to do that. We're going to practice shooting energy, fire energy at candle flames at a distance.
Okay.
But people tend to take on fire much easier than get rid of fire. So, at first, you really want to get a ground. Now, with a fire box, that's not true. You can throw the fire box across the room at an outlet, okay? No problem. So that would have been an option. If you had known and you had built up in fire energy, it's quicker to get to a ground and flow it directly. But if you had to, you could build 10 boxes, one after another, in red irons and throw them in an outlet.
Okay.
But it takes a while, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, part of it is, you know, to be in a room and not know where the outlets are, or they're behind a desk or something. You know,
But a light switch will do, too.
Okay.
A lot of times light switches are really neat because you can sort of back up to them and put your back against them.
Uh-huh.
Or your other hand on it.
Okay.
But
did I touch a lamp?
That's tricky because the lamp cord is not that good a ground.
All right.
But you all will learn to get rid of headaches by hugging the refrigerator. That's a great way. Or body aches.
Oh, that's great.
So,
I'm sure we hug a lot of trees, but
yeah, but you don't want to be dumping a lot of fire energy into a tree. That might
Right. Okay.
So that's how you do it, and we're going to do it just like we did with the air boxes. You know, going through the different colors and characteristics, and you have tables for that. But do study your shortages and excesses so that you're familiar with what to expect. Like your fire shortages. It gives you every color. Sun yellow, tiredness, crave sunlight, chronic fatigue syndrome. How about that? Most chronic fatigue syndrome just could be a shortage of sun yellow. Most depression could be a shortage of sun yellow. Lack of self-esteem could be a shortage of sun yellow. But then you look at yellow irons and it's slow reflexes, stuttering, move in indecisive ways, erratic behavior, numbness, devoid of feeling, apathy. When you look at orange, red orange, low blood pressure, low temperature, stupor, high pain tolerance. Some people that can handle a lot of pain, this might be too low in red orange. But then compare that to your fire excesses. Sun yellow, overly enthusiastic. Mania, boundless joy, self-centered, self-absorbed. Great leadership, megalomania. So a wide variety of conditions here to study and so forth. So go through those and be familiar with those. And just like we did in air, what we want to start doing with fire, aside from doing boxes, is start with those exercise 1, 2, and 3 in the recognition exercises of body parts and people and objects in the environment to recognize or locate fire by virtue of its characteristics. So this is really cool. In other words, looking at people or situations or animals or objects, see if you can, if are they non-mutable? You know, I mean, like a dog does not change into a horse. That is non-mutable. A person doesn't change into a horse. A car doesn't change into a flying machine. It stays a car. That's non-mutable. Weightless. Look around for conditions that are weightless, things that are weightless. Sound is weightless. All different sounds are weightless. Anything that is radiative, motivator, sirens, somebody holding up their hand, somebody giving you the finger. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen around us all the time that are motivators and radiative. Our expressions, our facial expressions, our tongue. Look for body parts and see what characteristics of fire can you find there? Power, the force of motion. What parts of your body never stop moving? They're moving all the time. Like me sitting here talking, moving my tongue and my jaws endlessly. So, real easy stuff. A little harder when you get to that exercise, that recognition number 3, which says, okay, now I've got to pick a characteristic, non-mutable, as an example, and find an example of non-mutability. So what would be an example of something that is non-mutable? Well, energy, electrical energy flowing in a wire is non-mutable. What is positive about that, or constructive? What is destructive? What's constructive? It's a way to power your house and get your lights to work and your refrigerator to work and so forth. What is destructive about the non-mutability of it? You can't store it, you can't hold it, you can't contain it. It's here today and gone the next minute. Same with radiative, motivator, power. Find examples. And then see where that example is constructive and that example is destructive. And all the while, going out with our exit ritual, seeking power. I greet you. So, comments on fire. It's a wonderful study, and you'll be able to do some incredible healing once you understand it a little bit. Yeah. So, Magnus, any questions on fire energy? Is it making sense to you?
It does. I don't have any questions right now.
Dan, do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I have one question. I know that when you take off the firebox that you picture the word of the characteristic between your shoulder blades and let it flow out. And when I was taking off air boxes, I didn't think about this till I read this. When I was taking off air boxes, I was actually blowing the word into the box.
That's the way you were told to do it.
Okay.
But with fire, you just flow the word down your arms.
From the, between your shoulder blades.
You can do it from your shoulder blades, from your hips. You can do it. I would not do it from the lungs. But the nice thing about doing it between the shoulder blades is that's where most people develop a lot of fire energy or tension. Tension is also fire energy. Strain is fire energy. Stress is fire energy. So if you pull from an area that tends to develop stress or strain or pain or whatever, you're sort of, that's good, because you're sort of, you know, clearing that area out, you know. Does that answer your question?
That did.
Good question. Helen, questions or comments?
No questions. Sounds good.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun for you, particularly if there's a lot of hoop to rot at work.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so get your basics down this week, and next week we'll tell you directly how to just totally turn your whole office upside down by handling their fire energy. I mean, like, ways you wouldn't believe. I mean, you'll have people going home dazed. Bosses that leave work early and don't reappear for weeks.
Okay.
Okay. Randy, questions or comments?
No questions, Alan.
Are you sort of looking gleefully around to see what you can do with fire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lots. Jennifer?
No questions.
You don't have to be afraid of rules of the road, Jennifer, as long as anybody gives you permission, you know, even if it's in a general way.
Okay. It just seems like I feel like I get whacked so much.
You get whacked more because of what you didn't know, not because of what you do know.
Okay.
I tell you what, the more that you handle these energies for yourself and for others, people will leave you alone. I mean, they'll ask you for help. That's one thing. But when they don't want your help, or they're not gonna whack you, believe me. They're gonna steal clear around you. Because they sense that you know how to handle energies and they don't understand what you know. So, yeah. So you guys have fun with it.
Okay.
And don't let it scare you. Be scared of what you didn't know before you knew what it was all about. And then I'll see you all in lab or next week or whatever.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks.
Have fun. Take on a lot of sun yellow. See what that's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.